Proverbs, chapter number 9. We've been studying the book of Proverbs, and we've learned many things. We're about to conclude the first major section of the book of Proverbs. And then in chapter 10, it changes the way the book is structured, how it works, and how it goes. And so, Proverbs chapter number 9. Tonight we're going to finish the chapter. We're going to start reading with verse number 13. Verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 13. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll read together Proverbs chapter 9, starting with verse 13 to the end of the chapter. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passers who go unto their way. Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. For him that wanteth understanding, she has said unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. For he knoweth not that the death are there, the dead are there, and that she goeth, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So here we see another she. Remember, wisdom and understanding together make a she. We learned that in chapter number 8. We saw this comparison. It's the comparison of two separate women. Wisdom as the she in verses 1 through 13 or 12, and then from 13 to verse 18, the she, that's the world's wisdom and understanding. They're not the same. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. The way the world thinks is not the way God thinks. And so we have two separate wisdoms being illustrated here. God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. So today we're going to finish chapter number 9 and look at the world's wisdom and how it calls unto those in the world. Father, we ask that you simply bless now the things that we're about to learn. May your name be glorified in all that's said and done here. Give me simplicity of speech. Give me clarity of mind as I speak to these, your people, tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've learned some wonderful things about the two women, the wise woman. And the wise women are those that wise woman is referred to as those that follow God's wisdom, God's understanding. Wisdom, godly wisdom, and looking at life from God's point of view. Looking at yourself from God's point of view, and looking at how we treat others from God's point of view. Understanding, then, we've learned, is taking that wisdom, understanding it or comprehending it, accepting it, and applying it to our lives. So God wants us to be wise. He can't force us to be wise, so He instructs us to be wise. Chapters 1 through 9 are all a father talking to his son. The beginning of chapter 1 is the introduction. The rest is all a father sitting down with his son, or mother sitting down, if you will, with his daughter. Her daughter, or a mother sitting with her son, or a father sitting with his daughter. It's two loved ones together. The older saying to the younger, this is what you need in life. This is what you must have to be a success. These are the things that are extremely important in life. So God has given us some very important things. And now he's showing us how the world calls after us. So notice, God calls her a foolish woman. Look in verse number 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Now we're not talking about a female, remember? We're not talking about an individual. We're talking about the marriage between wisdom and understanding from the world now. Okay? Because the world's wisdom is the opposite of God's wisdom. And it brings us somewhere. So notice, there are seven things we're going to notice about the foolishness of this woman, or the foolishness of the wisdom and understanding married together of the world's supposed wisdom. Alright? So number one, she's clamorous. That means she's empty. It's vain. It's emptiness. But it makes a bunch of racket. It makes a bunch of noise. So that she's full of clamor. She's clamorous. The foolish woman is full of folly then, one who has none of God's wisdom, none of God's understanding. She clamors. Now that's that word mean, clamorous. The word means to make loud noises, such as a hum of an engine. Loud noises. By implication, to be a great commotion or tumult. It means to rage or make war or make the sound of war. To mourn, to clamor, clamorous. It means a continual loud sound, to be disquieted, to make noise, to have a rage. You ever seen someone go into a rage? That's what the world's wisdom is like. It's amazing how that the world makes up things that are their enemies and runs from something that we don't even, that's not even pursuing them. Many of us Christians do that same thing. That's the world's wisdom. We make up things. We don't necessarily make them up. We say the what ifs. Well, what if this happens, and then what if that happens, and what if that happens, and boy, that's what our whole news programs are all about, the what ifs. And they stir up things that aren't even happening. Or they put them in such a light that they're untrue and unequitable. Truth is, that's how the world's wisdom is. It's clamorous. It rages all the time. It wants to make war. It's mourning. It's always in an uproar. And the Bible says that's foolishness. That's a foolish woman. That type of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11, remember when we read this? She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. What? Foolishness. The world's wisdom. She's loud. The world is always screaming to get attention to it and our attention away from God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Yet we know that's true. As Christians, we see it all the time. The world's always clamoring for our time, always clamoring for our energy, always demanding that we put it first instead of God first. Why? It's always making all sorts of racket and noise. The second thing I notice is she is simple. Verse 13. She is simple. She is simple. The word simple means seducible, both mentally and morally. By being seducible, by being alluring. The word simple means deceiving, as with using flattery or persuade someone to do wrong. She's simple. It doesn't just mean as a simple person who's unpleaded, that has no boundaries. That's not what this particular format in which the word simple means. It means somebody that's seducible mentally and morally. And boy, if that isn't the world's wisdom today, I don't know what is. The morality of this world is absolutely horrendously bad. Marriage is thought of to be a joke. Free sex and free love and free wildness. The morals of our generation have failed us terribly. Divorce is at an outrageous expanse across the world. Why? Because we don't know what it means to be committed to somebody forever for the rest of our life. One husband, one wife. It's not just today. If you read the Bible, you see it's all through time. It's always been that way. It never has been right. It never will be right. But always has been the world's way. The world wants to deceive you and me. Back in Genesis chapter number 3, we're not going to read it, but let's think about that. That's back when Eve was in the garden. And who came to her? The serpent, the devil, came in the form of a serpent. And what was his desire? To deceive her. To make her think by using reasoning from the world and special speech. I call it special speech because it's not truthful speech. It's not quite a lie. It's a twisting. It's a perversion of the truth. And the world is excellent at doing that. We see it all the time, especially politicians are excellent at twisting words in such a way that it makes that which seems which is right seem wrong, and that which is wrong seem right. We see that with the homosexual crowd today, and making marriage seem right for homosexuals. Marriage amongst homosexuals is still wrong. It's still a sin, and I know people are afraid to say that, and this is going on tape, and this is going to go out to anybody that wants to listen to it, and it is a truth, and I'm sorry that you may be offended by it, but truth is truth, right is right, wrong is wrong, and the truth is that we must have enough courage as Christians to say the truth. Because the world's clamorous. The world is foolish. It's simple. It does not realize that they're being seduced. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. God made one man for one woman, not one woman for one woman, and one man for one man. God did what He did on purpose. And if we don't like it, and we say, oh, I was born that way. I don't believe that. I believe you choose that way. I know it's going to make people mad. I'm not intending to make people mad. I'm just telling us the truth. And the truth is that that's the simplicity or the foolishness or the alluring or the deception, the persuasion to do wrong that the world puts out there. Another word I found it very interesting for this Hebrew word simple is the word naive. Or naivety. Naive. It's an adjective. It's descriptive. Here's what it means. Having or showing an unaffected simplicity of nature or an absence of artificiality, unsophistication, and ingenuousness. Having or showing a lack of experience, judgment, and information. Wow, how about that? That's exactly what the world has. It has a lack of knowledge and understanding. The world says, I came from a monkey. God said, I created man in my image and in my likeness. A difference. There's a difference. You don't cut off your ear and you're not going to find the gill because you never came from a fish. Why? Because it's foolishness. It's simplicity in such a way that we're naive to think that even happened. Showing a lack of experience, judgment, and information. Having a mark of being simple. Reflecting little of any formal training or techniques. Or having previously been subject to a scientific experiment with an animal. That's what naive means. And that's another word for the word simple. The world really is naive about the things of God. They have no knowledge of the things of God. We must be careful then that as we work with the world, that we understand the limitations that they have. And that's why it's so important that we give them the gospel message so their eyes can be open. So their understanding can change and so they can really get wisdom and understanding. So that they can get knowledge according to God and truth. So it's important that we give out the gospel message so people can really move from being simple to having wisdom from heaven. Verse 13 says, she knoweth nothing. She knoweth nothing. In other words, she has no sense. She has no experience or understanding of what's right, what the right thing really is. She knows nothing. What knows nothing? This particular woman? No, it's not a woman that's being referred to. It's talking about the world and the knowledge and the wisdom of the world, I should say. The wisdom and the knowledge of the world married together into this form that we can understand and doesn't know anything. We boast about how smart and how intellectual and how progressive we are as a human race, as people. But truly, we're really foolish. It's amazing how you can take 10 people. 10 people that are progressives and 10 people that are conservatives. And you get a huge battle between them because they just don't understand what the other one's saying. It's a complete lack of understanding of each other's side. And that's kind of like what it is when it comes to the world of the wisdom, the world's wisdom and understanding, I should say, and God's wisdom and understanding. There's no common ground between the two of them. It's like they're both talking foreign languages. And no one's listening to what the other one has to say. So she knoweth nothing. Number 4, she sitteth. Compared to verse 3, where God says, her wisdom standeth forth, sendeth forth her maidens, and she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Well, she sits in the highest places of the city where God's wisdom goes out and cry. What's she doing? She's trying to manipulate people to come to her. She sits at the door of her house and sits in the high places of the city. What's she doing? She's trying to call people to her. Verse 15 tells us that. She calleth passengers who go right on their way. She's trying to talk to the people as the world. By the way, the world's always calling to us. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, the world's still going to call after you. You can be saved 100 years and be 120 years old, and the world's still going to call after you. It's still out there clamoring to get our attention, trying to get us to behave like it. So it never gets any easier. She calleth the simple. Who is the world's wisdom calling? It's calling other people like itself. The simple. Verse 15. It says, she calls passengers who are go right on their way. So they're going on their way. They're not going on God's way. God wants us to go on His way, not our own way. The way of righteousness is what He says. Notice in number 6, she offers an inferior meal. Verse 17. Stolen waters are sweet, and the bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So she's offering an inferior meal to that which God compares. God gives us true word, His word, which is the bread of life. She gives the bread of death. What a difference. What an opposite statement. Because what happens here? She's stolen waters are sweet. That's not true. In other words, stolen waters are a good thing. Well, that which somebody else has, let me covet after somebody else has what they have and take it from them so I become better. Mm-hmm. That philosophy is all over our world today. That is a wrong philosophy. That is not how God teaches us to think and behave. God says that we should work to help other people. Where these folks say we ought to take those from those who are working and give it to ourselves so that we have more. That's not God's philosophy. That's not God's wisdom. By the way, that's not where true happiness comes from. Do you know, it's funny. There was an old saying when I was a kid. Give a man a fish and he can eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he can eat for a lifetime. Well, somebody can give to somebody who's poor, but then they're still going to be poor. What's important is to teach that poor person how to work and how to labor so he can get more, so he too can get out of his poverty. But if all we do is get take and take and take and take, we're lazy. We're just waiting for that next handout to come, and we don't have to work. In fact, the Bible says later on in other places, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Why is that? Because God wants us to prosper. God wants us to improve our situation. God wants us to have joy, and true joy doesn't come by taking from what somebody else has. True joy comes from being able to take what we have and sharing it with someone because we desire to help them, not because we should take it from somebody. There's a difference between taking something and somebody offering something to you, giving it to you. Because when someone gives something, it's a gift. When we take it, we're a thief. Tremendously different. She notice in verse 17 and 18, she offers pleasure first, but pain comes from it. Look in verse 17. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So she's saying, if you take this stuff, it's pleasant, but look in verse 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there. She offers pleasant things. In chapter 9 and verse 17, it says that. But in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17, it says, the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. What a statement. That's what God says. Proverbs 8, in chapter 9, verse 18 says, for he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 18, it said this, for her health inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. So the world's wisdom doesn't lead to life, it leads to death. The world's wisdom leads to pain and anguish and suffering and mourning. It sounds like it's a good road to go down. Oh, was not Satan convincing in the Garden of Eden when he looked at Eve and said, listen, God knows that the day in which you take of that fruit, thereof you'll become like God. And he doesn't want you to be that way. Oh, wow. She looked at it, and he was right. It was pleasant to look at. It was there to be desired. To make one wise. So she takes of it, and what happens? Death comes. And death has continued evermore since that day. And the truth is that death continues to come. Why do we have all the problems in the world that we have today? Because of sin. I feel bad for the 20 children that were killed in the schoolhouse this past year in 2012. But the truth is the reason that happened was because of sin. Sin. I feel bad for the families of and loved ones who've lost their loved ones this year because of violent crime. But why has that happened? Because of sin. I hurt for the families and loved ones who watched their loved one die a painful, agonizing death of cancer. But why is there cancer? Because of sin. Death is a result of the world's wisdom and the world's ways. Heartache, heartbreak. Can I be honest with you? Most of the heartache and most of the heartbreak that we go through is all the result of sin that someone has committed. It's sad and it's a heartbreak. So there's a general lesson here in this chapter then concerning the work of God. We're not to go after the simple. But what we need to do is go after the simple and give them the gospel message so that they no longer have to be simple. We need to go out and give the world something that can change their life because they're going in one direction. And the only direction they have is death. And even eternal death in hell as a result. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the world needs the gospel message. Nothing's going to change them but the gospel. We can talk till we're blue in the face about how good God is. We can tell them how wonderful that would be. And we can argue with them all day long about all these things that we disagree on. But the truth is none of that's going to help them until we give them the gospel message. It's the gospel message that changes the life of a human being. What made a difference in my life? Receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. What made a difference in your life? Receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What changed your thinking? Receiving Christ as your Savior. What changed my thinking? Receiving Christ as my Savior. It changed my whole life. It changed my outlook of life. It changed my purpose in life. It changed my comprehension of what life is all about, and it gave me life eternal in heaven with God forever and ever, and never will I have to die in the death of hell. I may die a physical death, but I'll never die the spiritual death. Why? Because I have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do we see in chapter number 9 then? That we need to get out to the world that is simple-minded and give them the gospel message that God may change them. Yet the truth is that the natural appeal of the flesh is on the side of Satan. Our flesh is a cohort with him. They're co-workers together trying to get us to leave the things of God even though we're saved. And so these things are going to constantly beat at us and clamor for us. But we have to work harder and prepare more of the meals of the Word of God in our life so that we can continue to live the victorious Christian life. I feel bad oftentimes for many Christians whom I've not known and watched over these years and decades that I've been a servant of the King and seen them take the truth, follow the truth, then hearing the calling of the world and walking away from the truth and watching their lives and their families become destroyed because they walked away from the truth. So we need to stay with the truth, walk in the truth. So let's go after the lost and reach them for Christ. Let's go and keep the Word of God and read it every day and follow it and accept it and apply it to our life that we can have God's wisdom instead of our wisdom. That we walk not in the foolishness of the world, but walk in the wisdom and the power of God. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. Thank you for the simple truths that you've given to us. Now, Holy